Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Joining me here in our visual radio studio to talk a little bit about the upcoming Chautauqua performances here at San Juan College, none other than Dr. Jimmy Miller, who is one of the organizers. Dr. Miller, good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Welcome to KSJE's visual radio studio.
This is a first for me.
It is a first for you. We're glad that you're here because you are part of the organizing group that puts these things together every year, and you have another great series of Chautauqua performances coming to campus.
Yes, we do. I'm really excited about it.
Excellent. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the ones that are happening between now and the end of this calendar year, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. And there's about three that are coming, and folks can set them on their calendars, and as usual, these are all free to attend, correct?
Right. They're all on Friday evenings, and we'll give you the dates, and free to the public. As I always say, though, you've already certainly helped support these through your tax dollars, and we appreciate that.
Right,
come and enjoy your investment.
There you are. Perfect. So let's start by the first one, and that's coming up, in just a couple of days, I think, right? This is
very shortly, yes, September 6th, yes. Friday the 6th of September.
Okay, and this is called The Wonders of Nature with Rachel Carson.
Right. Rachel Carson, for those that are not too familiar with her, was a very famous biologist and did many other things too, a writer, and is probably best remembered for her book Silent Spring, which led over a period of years to the banning of DDT.
Right.
As a insecticide.
Exactly, because there were other negative effects that by using that she uncovered and
right.
She wrote about in that book, sure.
So, yeah, I remember running behind the trucks that used to spray it in my hometown there. All the kids did.
Right.
I'm still here, but
I understand.
I'm glad I didn't do it more.
I grew up on a fruit farm. I probably inhaled the same stuff.
So right, here, right.
We both are. But yeah, some really interesting stuff. And so this is going to be portrayed by a lady who's been here before,
yes,
right?
Yes, Anne Beake from Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Many people might have remembered her more recent performance up here as Rosie the Riveter.
Right.
Really, really exciting and fun program, and we think this one will be every bit as exciting, although the character is not quite the same intensity, but clearly the Rachel Carson show is one I've seen before, and it is really a very good story of how a person who, with relatively modest, a modest audience to listen to,
right.
Build it into a national movement, and worked tirelessly. In fact, one of the ironies of the life of Rachel Carson is she eventually died of cancer, which very well might have been inflicted by insecticides.
Interesting, right. And this was about when she wrote this book. This was during the,
1962 is when the book came out. So, yes, this was back.
And so it kind of precursor to the environmental movement that we think about maybe more in the 70s and this type of thing, being
right.
more aware of our environment?
The environmental movement is usually dated to the first World Environment Day, and that was in 1971.
Okay.
And
so she predates that.
She predates that, but certainly her vision for what needed to be done in America was very much a part of the early environmental movement.
For sure. And I would think her persistence on this issue, too, got a lot of attention, right? From her very small beginnings, as you mentioned, that, I think this was an issue she really wanted to cling to and really try to promote and talk about and write this book.
Yes, yes. She was really very energetic in her kind of quiet, methodical way, getting out. Wasn't a very noted public speaker on it. It wasn't a radical of the
right.
environmental movement, but clearly her basis in science was sound, and she brought this message to the the reading world first, and eventually to the general public too.
Right.
Silent Spring is a very, very important early work in the environmental awareness movement.
Sure, and I can only imagine what she was up against, against giant corporations and government regulations and things like that, with this kind of idea that this product that was widely used might be unhealthy or dangerous.
Yes, and she brings that out very forcefully in her program here. Anne is a very accomplished actress. She's done several Chautauquas over the years and has done broadcasting work, has worked in local radio.
Right.
Voiceover things. Just a very engaging person too. I'm just sure the audience will embrace Anne, and hopefully we'll have a good turnout for that one on the 6th of September, 7
exactly.
p.m.
Mark your calendars, everybody. And again, it's a free performance, and again, a great lesson. And I think it's suitable for most all ages, right? To get education on this issue.
In fact, I've tried to concentrate on environmental kinds of presentations. You remember we had John Muir here last year, two basically sold out performances, although the cost was zero, but at least to the public. And it really, I think, touched a chord here in the community that is still alive and well. In fact, we've got another one coming up. I'll discuss that one here in just a minute with you, that is equally committed to the environmental issues.
Okay.
So we'll have fun with that this year.
That's very interesting. Well, very good. Well, again, it's The Wonders of Nature, Rachel Carson, as the Chautauqua performance on September 6th in the San Juan College Little Theater, 7 p.m.
Correct.
It's the starting
yes.
time. And again, it stars Anne, and you pronounce her last name, Beakey.
Beakey. Yes, Beakey.
Okay. But she'll be here on that date. Dr. Jimmy Miller is my guest this morning talking about the Chautauqua performances. And so the next one, though, isn't necessarily that environmentally bent, is it?
No, this is
a
political bent.
Yes,
it's
sir.
A very interesting program. My wife and I had the good fortune to be in Albuquerque at a time when we just happened into the Albuquerque Museum and saw there was going to be a presentation of a film, the inaugural presentation of a film, and it was a film that was done by a man named Jim Cooney, and many other people participated in it, and the name of the film was Edmund G. Ross, Soldier, Senator, Abolitionist. That's actually the name of the book, but the film had a similar title, and the book was written by a man named Richard Rudy through the UNM Press, came out in 2013, the first biography of a very influential man, both on the national scene and here in New Mexico.
Interesting.
And the man's name is Edmund G. Ross. If that name doesn't ring an immediate bell with most of our listeners and viewers now, as
right.
I guess we
yes,
were on video too, he was a senator from Kansas, a Republican senator from Kansas, back in the period during the Civil War and right after the Civil War. And if you know your U.S. history just a little bit, you know that President Abraham Lincoln, a Republican, was assassinated in March of 1865.
Right.
Well, that means the vice president steps in. And the vice president at this time happened to be a man named Andrew Johnson. Not Jackson, Andrew Johnson.
Right.
And Andrew Johnson was actually a Democrat from Tennessee.
Interesting how that happened.
Right. And if you know your history a little bit, you know that Tennessee was one of the slave states that never seceded from the nation. So they were never part of the Confederacy. But at the same time, the very strong pro-slavery, pro-Confederate population there,
right.
And it just so happened that Andrew Johnson, although very much a staunch Southerner and very supportive of slavery, in fact, owned slaves in his own life, he was even a stronger Unionist, and he just absolutely could not brook the idea of secession. And as a result, this election in 1864, in which President Abraham Lincoln stood for re-election, looked to be a very close one. I mean, the war was not going well at all for the Union up until at least late summer of 1863. And 1864 just seemed to drag on. The casualties were just horrendous in 1864. And what they wanted to do was to find some way of getting more of the vote of those people that were interested in finding a negotiated settlement for the war, that opposed the whole idea of secession. And the Republican Party made a decision in 1864 that they would simply drop the label of Republicans, call themselves the Union Party, and nominated this very staunch Southerner from the state of Tennessee to be the vice presidential running mate.
And talk about a balanced ticket, I suppose.
Very balanced, right? Extreme to the point of balance, I'm sure. At any rate, the team was elected, of course, and no one anticipated, we never do, that a vice president can become president just with a stroke of a bullet or whatever.
But that's what happened.
That's so, exactly what happened.
So Mr. Johnson finds himself in the highest office, and political turmoil and the end of the Civil War, and there's lots of factions that are fighting around him, right?
And of course, right after the Civil War, there is an effort to basically punish the traitors, as the Union loyalists would have it. And clearly, that was not what Andrew Johnson wanted. And he fought tooth and nail in a very, very partisan fashion against the Republicans and what was called radical Republican Reconstruction during that time.
Right.
And as the story unfolds, of course, eventually he is impeached.
And,
our listeners need to remember that impeachment simply means an indictment by the House of Representatives. It does not mean removal.
Right, that's left up to the Senate.
Right, and the House of Representatives, by a simple majority vote, can impeach a president. And then the trial goes to the Senate.
Right, but at that time, he was the first, right? He was the first president who was impeached, wasn't he?
The first one that was impeached. There were proceedings that had not gone very far, but there were a couple early efforts to try and see if it would work. But this is the first actual impeachment, and he was impeached.
Right.
And overwhelmingly impeached in the House of Representatives. And we have to remember the House of Representatives is always the people's body. It more directly reflects the passions of the nation at that particular point in time. And clearly the passions of the nation, at least the majority of the people, were very much to find a way to just basically wipe the dreaded slavery out of the picture. And clearly it looked like Andrew Johnson was an obstacle in that, and the trial in the Senate looks to be a sure deal. I mean, both the House and the Senate were clearly dominated by Republicans, and there were about three Republicans that appeared to be a little bit noncommittal, at least at this point, and they needed all three of them to get the two-thirds majority that they needed. And but they thought certainly Edmund G. Ross, just a very recent senator from the newly created state of Kansas, he would fall in line with the Republican leadership. Well,
right.
He didn't.
And that's where he comes into the story, right?
And clearly that was a surprise to everybody. They actually took three votes in the Senate and hoping that they would force him to change, and he didn't. And this is one of the characters portrayed in John F. Kennedy's Profiles in Courage, which he published back in 1957, I think it was.
Right.
And so it was a wonderful story, and it was a very good documentary. It first appeared on television on New Mexico's PBS channel on July 11th. That was shortly after I had seen it. Down there, and they hope to be able to get it syndicated through national
national television.
Okay.
So
the New Mexico connection is that this senator then moves to New Mexico later in life, right, and becomes prominent here.
And not too much later in life. He's literally run out of Kansas.
Oh,
he can't get a job there. He can't be elected to anything.
Oops.
And he heads down the Santa Fe Trail, ends up in New Mexico.
Okay. I guess that's what they say. Decisions have consequences.
one of the early formers of the Albuquerque Journal, involved in newspapers all of his life, eventually will be elected to the territorial governorship in New Mexico, is very much involved in the development of education laws in the late territorial period, and really served the state of New Mexico probably as well as any territorial governor in our history there in the late 19th century.
Interesting.
So we have a direct link with Edmund G. Ross. He also has large numbers of family members in New Mexico, and one of his great-great-grandsons is Steve Ross.
Okay.
Now, some of the people in the community that remember back to San Juan College maybe 30, 35 years ago remember that Steve Ross was the developmental officer here. He was the director of development.
Right.
Basically, the head of the foundation.
Right.
Back in the mid-1980s. And I used to talk to Steve quite a while back in those days, and he'd tell me stories about his famous great-great-great-great-grandfather. Father and very proud of his lineage and family history, and I always told him, well, he should write a book. Well, he didn't write a book, but he certainly helped in the publication of this TV program, and is going around and promoting it now. So Steve Ross will be the introducer to the film and talk a little bit about his family connection, and then field questions after the video is shown.
Okay.
And it should be an exciting evening, and it should be one that really is a very timely subject, too. Clearly, we have...
There's certainly conversations happening these
days. Other issues involving the issue of impeachment today, and whether it's good, whether it's bad, what the effect on the nation would be, and Steve has some very pronounced ideas on what he thinks his great-great-grandfather's vote did for the nation.
Interesting. And I'm sure there's a lot of folks like me who wasn't aware of the New Mexico connection to the impeachment of President Andrew Johnson. I don't know if I ever heard that side of the story before.
Yes. In fact, Edmund G. Ross is buried in a kind of an unmarked grave. Not an unmarked, but certainly not a prominent grave.
Okay.
And had largely gone, been forgotten, really, by later generations. And the man, Richard Ruddy, who wrote the biography, just thought that isn't fair. He's a prominent person here, and nobody even knows who that person in that grave is. So he's actually a photographer more than a writer, but he just took up that subject and spent about 6 years of his life writing the book. And the book was not a great commercial success, but it caught the eye of several TV producers that thought that would make a great story. And so it's now in video, too. Going on the road here with Steve Ross and the...
That's true. And so that's coming up on the 13th.
That's the 13th, and that's just 1 week after Ann Beakey here.
That's
so
right.
It's almost like two for one there.
Exactly. And again, free to attend in the Little Theater.
Right.
And again, it is going to be the film of this this gentleman, but also introduced by his great... How many greats are
great,
there?
Great-great-grandson.
Great-great-grandson.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of folks probably who remember him, whose face is on our screen right now, right?
That's
him. And we'll be here to visit with him and hear about him. But an amazing story. I've learned something new this morning.
Might mention that Steve is also a champion senior division weightlifter in the nation too. Always was involved in that sport and has carried that on since I knew him back in the 80s.
Well, very good. Well, you see there. Well, that's coming up again September 13th. Everyone, mark your calendars. The next Chautauqua performance, and then the third. session that we want to talk a little bit about this morning, Dr. Miller, is another one that's more of an environmental theme.
Yes.
And this gentleman, I do know a little bit about Jack Leffler because I know Connie Gotch was a big friend of his, former program director here. And Jack's a noted author of many topics in New Mexico, but you've got him to do a Chautauqua.
Yes, this is the first time I have heard of Jack. I knew of him and his work, but I had never personally had any contact with him. And he was one that I thought would fit in very well in the environmental kind of atmosphere that we've kind of developed here since we had John Muir here last April.
Right.
And he was very, very gracious, and he said, "Oh, I'd love to come to Farmington. I had friends up here, and he liked he had a lot of outdoor interest in this area." And I says, "Well, you seem very vigorous and excited about this." He says, "Yeah, I don't do bad for a man of 83."
Right.
But I said, "Well, you sound like you're 35 to me." So, a delightful person. He has done a lot of writing. The title of his program is Thinking Like a Watershed. And what he is suggesting is that we should kind of, downplay the idea of political boundaries and divisions between county lines and state lines, and think more in terms of, comprehensive units that all are a part of the same watershed.
Okay.
And that our decisions will be much more appropriate, especially involving water. That's the big thing that Jack has devoted his whole life to, really.
Interesting. And when we think about that, I think it's very timely, certainly. We recently remember the Gold King Mine incident that happened further upstream in a whole other state, but certainly what happens in the mountains in Colorado certainly finds its way to the San Juan River Valley here in New Mexico.
Absolutely.
And that's all of the watershed that we're talking about, those types of things.
And Jack has done an awful lot of writing, and he is in the process of transferring a lot of his oral history. Now, not O-R-A-L, but oral, the sound of people speaking history. And has recorded all over, the Southwest, and has Edward Abbey, of course, is one of his great friends. So he's got a lot of tapes of conversations with Ed. In fact, he wrote a book called Conversations with Ed. So it's a really exciting program, I think, and I think the people will really enjoy him and enjoy the subject, and hopefully cause them to think, as he suggests here, thinking like a watershed.
Right.
Thinking in terms of a watershed. We're part of a watershed more than we are a political party or a county or a state or religious group or whatever. The thing that really binds us together and creates the kind of common identity of people all over the world is the people that live in the connected watershed.
Interesting. And we certainly can see that here, and water is so very important to all of us here in the desert Southwest, so it even is maybe a bigger topic than it would be in other parts of the country, perhaps. Very good. He is coming on October 25th.
October 25th, again, 7 p.m. in the Little Theater.
Okay.
And we just hope that people will come out and enjoy these programs, learn from them, participate in them. And that's the whole idea of the Chautauqua program, to get people involved in the things that matter in their community and in their lives.
Sure.
And hopefully all three of these will provoke some of that interest.
I think they would. And again, I'm a big history fan, and it's always amazing to me how some of these history lessons from 100 years ago, 50 years ago, relate to things that are still happening today or things that could be happening today. I mean, it's always amazing to me the study of history and what that means to present day things that are going on now.
Right. I need to correct myself before I get a lot of calls here. Uh-oh. Or you get a lot of calls.
I didn't catch it.
I said that Tennessee had not seceded from the Union.
Oh.
They actually did. Kentucky to the north did not secede.
That's the one. Okay.
So, there was a lot of division, and Andrew Johnson came from the area over in the eastern part, the hill country of Tennessee, that really did not have slavery as a strong economic base.
Okay.
So although he was very much a dyed-in-the-wool Southerner, he clearly did not like the idea of the planter aristocracy dominating the little guy. He was always a supporter of the people that he felt had been left out in the Southern economy.
Okay.
And view caught Abraham Lincoln's view, because he thought there are a lot of people in the South like that would support the ticket if they were convinced that the ticket would support them and their economic interests and their cultural views.
So. Okay. Well, thank you. I'm glad you made the correction, because I didn't catch it, Dr. Miller. And so it's.
But he was from a slaveholding state, which is really makes it all the more remarkable that here the Union ticket in the midst of the Civil War chooses to nominate a person from a state that had seceded from the Union.
That's right. And another party altogether.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat.
We're not going to see that in 2020.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. That's true. Dr. Miller, it's always a pleasure to have you here again review the three Chautauquas that we're talking about that are coming up. The first one, September 6th, here at 7 p.m., The Wonders of Nature, the Rachel Carson performance, and that's coming up. And then Freedom and Impeachment, which is the story about the courage of Edmund G. Ross, as we were just talking about, regarding the impeachment of President Andrew Johnson after the Civil War. And that's September 13th, 7 p.m. in Little Theater. And then Thinking Like a Watershed with Jack Leffler on October 25th, 7 p.m. in the San Juan Collins Little Theater. And that's what's coming up. But there's more in 2020 in the spring, and you'll come back to talk to me a little bit about those.
We will. We have programs from March through May in the spring. So
I'll get you back.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Miller. Dr. Jimmy Miller, my guest here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.